Shlomo's monumental effort receives a divine response in the form of a cloud representing Hashem's glory that came onto the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. The king's words of prayer that accompany these actions are now answered through an explicit address from Hashem. This is Hashem's second revelation to Shlomo. Remember, the first one was when Hashem gave him the option to ask for what he wants, and he chose wisdom. It was when Shlomo finished building the house of the Lord and the house of the king, which was similar in size to the house of Hashem, and all of Shlomo's desires that he wished to do, the numerous construction plans that he implemented for the glory of his kingdom, that Hashem appeared to Shlomo a second time as he had appeared to him in Givon. So obviously Shlomo was a mini prophet. Hashem said to him, "I have heard your prayer and what you begged from me. I have indeed sanctified this house that you built to place my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there forever. V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim." This place is very important to me. "As for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked in good faith and upright, acting in accordance with everything I commanded you and following all my mitzvot, I will establish the throne of your kingship over Israel forever, as I spoke to David your father, saying, 'No man of yours will be eliminated from upon the throne of Israel. Your dynasty will last forever.' If you and your children turn away from following me," which unfortunately does happen in reality, "and do not keep my commandments and everything I've put before you, and go and serve other gods and prostrate yourself to them, I will eliminate Israel from the face of the land that I have given them by exiling them, and the house that I have sanctified for my name I will dismiss before me. It will be destroyed, as indeed it happened 400 years later on Tisha B'Av. Israel will become a proverb, an example of a people that suffered disaster, and an adage amongst people. People will talk about them disrespectfully. This house will be an upheaval. It will literally become desolate, and everyone who passes by it will be astonished and whistle in amazement. And the people who will see the desolate temple will say, 'Alme asa Hashem kacha la'aretz hazois v'labayis hazeh?' Why did Hashem do this to this land and this home?" And people will respond, "Al asher azvu es Hashem elokeihem, because they forsook the Lord their God, who took their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and they took up other gods, and they bowed before them and served them. Therefore Hashem brought all the evil upon them." That's the end of the revelation. So back to the story. We spoke about the construction of the temple and the king's house, followed by two speeches, Shlomo's speech, Hashem's response. And now we finish off by summarizing the construction projects, and that will wrap it up, at least for the meanwhile. It was at the end of the 20 years in which Shlomo built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now, parenthetically, Hiram, king of Tyre, of Tsar, we spoke about this in the past, has supplied Solomon, Shlomo, throughout the entire period with cedar wood and juniper wood and with gold for all his needs. And it came to pass then, at the end of the years of the construction, King Shlomo gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of the Galilee. Not that he gave them to annex it, because that would have ramifications for all the people, but rather they were subjugated to Hiram for tax purposes alone. Obviously, despite Shlomo's great wealth, he was unable to cover the immense expenses of his projects, and therefore he gave Hiram permission to collect taxes from those cities. Hiram emerged from Tsar to see the cities that Shlomo had given him, but they were not acceptable in his eyes. V'lo yashru be'enav. He said, "What are these cities that you've given me, my brother?" Hiram wanted better or larger cities, which would provide him with more tax. He called them the land of Kabul, a closed, lacked land. Unfortunately, the Kabul of today in Afghanistan feels the same way. To this day, Kabul literally means locked up. That area was known as Kabul until the time that the Book of Kings was written, which is at the end of the Book of Kings, which is hundreds of years later. The Book of Kings describes all the way to the destruction of the temple. So it was written long after the events took place. Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. He obviously had a huge commercial empire, and he had tons of gold, which he had no use, etc. Obviously, it doesn't say what happened. At this stage, it doesn't say what happened with other cities. Maybe he got different cities. Now, the list below is the matter of the levy that King Shlomo imposed to build the house of the Lord, his own house. Then the milo, what's a milo? A rampart, fortified structure, or an area surrounded by supporting walls in order to combine the entire city into a single unit. And to build the walls of Jerusalem along its new route, and Chatzor, and Megiddo. Economic and commercial centers where the king's horses were tended, and maybe where the treasuries were, and the place Gezer. Now, mentioning Gezer, the chapter now says how it came into Shlomo's possession, even though David was unable to conquer the city. He says, what happened was Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Paro King of Egypt, had come up with his large army and captured Gezer. He had burned it with fire and killed the Canaanites who resided in the city. And he gave it as a dowry to his daughter Shlomo's wife, as the city was situated within the kingdom of Shlomo. Wow, that's quite a dowry. Go into a city, burn it to the ground, kill everyone in there, and then add it as a dowry. That's ridiculous. Shlomo rebuilt Gezer, and he built the lower area of Bet Charon, or Choron. Now, just to understand, this is quite north. Not all the way north, but this is... Some of these places are higher than Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is more south of Israel, and these things are northern, more north in Israel. Gezer and Beit Haran. And Megiddo is even more north. Chatzor is super north, almost near Syria. And then there's Kavul, which is also quite north. So Shlomo built Gezer and Beit Haron and Baalat and Tadmor and all the storehouses, the storehouse cities, the warehouses that Shlomo had, and the chariot cities and the cavalry cities, and that which Shlomo desired to build for his pleasure in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and all that land of his dominion. And even he goes into a little more detail about the levy. All the remaining people from the seven nations, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not of the children of Israel, meaning their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel were not able to destroy, the foreigners who were never expelled, Shlomo imposed upon them a levy of labor to this day. These foreigners were not entitled to inheritance within the land. It was all to the Jews, and any territory in their possession was taken away from them, as per God's command. And they worked as paid laborers in Shlomo's grand construction projects. But in contrast to the children of Israel, Shlomo did not make slaves, as they were the men of war, his servants, his commanders, his officials, and the commanders of his chariots and horsemen. In other words, when it came to the Jewish people, they were all working for him, but they weren't in the category of slaves. These men of Israel were the chief officials who were in charge of the labor for Shlomo, 550 who ruled over the people, tens of thousands of laborers who performed the labor. Now, when Pharaoh's daughter, Shlomo's wife, went up from the city of David, where she had initially been brought by the king, to her house that he had built her near his own palace, Shlomo then built the milo. What's the milo? At that time, Yerushalayim was divided between the city of David and the area in which the temple was built. They were basically effectively separate cities. And according to some traditions, Yerushalayim was split into two cities with the same name, and in certain periods, only one of its parts was conquered. The milo seems to be an area that Shlomo filled with earth, stones, and other building materials in order to raise it and thereby unify the city. Basically, once she moved up, then he started building the milo. Obviously, this lady, daughter of Pharaoh, has a huge significance. She's brought up over and over and over because it was a huge diplomatic win for Shlomo to have peace in the south. and he obviously treated her extremely well. 3 times a year, Shlomo offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar that he had built for Hashem, the Lord, and he burnt incense on that which was before the house of Hashem, and he completed the necessary work of the house. So this chapter kind of wraps up a bunch of details. We just have a few verses left. And the next chapter, we talk about the Queen of Sheba. Anyways, King Shlomo made a fleet of ships. He made a fleet of ships in a place called Etzion Gever, which is beside Elot at the shore of the Red Sea. This area seems to be somewhere between Aqaba and modern Eilat, but we're not sure where exactly it is. There was a great commercial rivalry in the Mediterranean Sea between the Phoenicians of Tyre and the Sidonians, the Philistines who lived in the port cities, the Egyptians, and other maritime trade nations. Shlomo had the advantage of control over the approach to the Red Sea. The establishment of a navy in this strategic location is further testimony to the kingdom's scope and strength. This place, Etzion Gever, was in the land of Edom. So the land of Edom is areas southwest of the Dead Sea and also parts of the Negev, all the way to the shores of the Red Sea. The entire region south of Yehuda's Jerusalem area, officially belonged to Edom, but in practice, Shlomo was the supreme ruler there as well, and he used its towns for his own needs. Hiram sent with the fleet his servants, experienced shipmen who knew the sea, with the servants of Shlomo to provide them with assistance. They came to Ophir. Interesting. Some people propose that it was either in the Arabian Peninsula, this Ophir place, or East Africa. And some people propose that the word Africa comes from that word Ophir. That's where it actually comes from. And they took from their gold 420 talents of gold, and they brought it to King Shlomo. So as you can see, Shlomo was definitely the greatest empire the Jewish people ever had. And that's why even the Messianic future, often when it's described, it's given similar terms to the days of Shlomo, because that is the greatest reference we have of Jewish power, Jewish success, Jewish thriving.